Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
And I hear pastors that say not everyone can go, and our job is to send those that can, and that's true in the context of going to another country, but you can go across the street. You can do something. And if you don't do something, then who will? Stop looking at the person next to you. Stop looking at somebody else to do the job God gave you. It's time for the church to step up and do what we're called to do. Not just the missionaries, not just the pastors, the church as a whole. This is not a rebuke today. This is a wake-up call. Christ is coming soon. And if you believe that, it should keep you awake at night. If you truthfully believe that, it should get you out of the bed in the morning. If you truthfully believe that Christ is coming soon, you should be on your knees for your city. Because if he comes today, how many of your friends go to hell? If he comes before the sermon's over, how many of your family members go to hell? Are you comfortable with that? I'm not. I'm not. But unless somebody tells them, they will never know. You see, my dad pointed something out to me when I was younger in middle school and high school. He said to me, Brent, you know the Bible tells you that God will wipe the tear from your eye. That means that there will be one. As our lives are played back to us, and we see the opportunities we missed. And the realization that people that we could have talked to that we did not are no longer with us. There will be tears. But by God's grace, he will wipe them away and say, welcome home. I don't want to go home alone. I want to take as many people with me as I can. Now, we all have different giftings, and you may look at me and go, well, I can't preach, or I can't this, or that's fine. I can't preach either. But there is something you can do. You see, I know a lot of you guys hunt. You can give away that venison. Hello? Half you guys around here have so much meat in your freezer, you're not going to eat it in three lifetimes. I'm with you. Got five this year. But you know what? I know families in my city that can't afford meat. So we've given away three. You see, it may not be a sermon, it may not be glamorous, but Christ calls us to love one another. You see, Christ, the majority of Christ's ministry was not in a sermon. The majority of his ministry was not in the synagogue. The majority of his ministry was walking through the streets of his town. As he touched the people around him in a way no one else did. Who here has your Bible with you today? This should be all of you, because you're at church. You see, when I was in high school and middle school, I was told I had to bring three things to math class. Those of you in school, what are the three things you bring to math class? A calculator. I like that one. What else do you bring to math class? Math book. What else? Pencils. And something to write on so you don't draw on the desk. See? Math book, pencil, paper when you go to math class, right? What do you take to science class? A ruler. Man, your school system is failing you. Science book, paper, pencil, right? When you come to church, what are the three things you bring? Bible, pencil, paper. Why? Because we're going to use your Bible and you should take notes. This shouldn't just happen when there's a guest speaker. It should happen every Sunday. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. It is not our job to just sit and digest or ingest what has been told to us. It is our job to then look at it, study it, and know it. You will be judged on that. Know the Word. The only way for you to know the Word is to be in the Word. Well, I heard somebody once told me, uh-uh. Everyone in this room today is old enough to know the Word. In Jewish times, at 12 years old, a young man had to have all of the Old Testament memorized. By 12. How many of you know the whole Old Testament? I don't. I'm not above you. But it's a challenge. Know God's Word. Know it. Today, the title of our message is The God of the Possible. So often we put limitations on God, don't we? God has no limit. He's bigger, he's stronger, has more money, right? The God I believe in owns the cattle on how many hills? He ain't hurting for money, which means we shouldn't either. Well, I don't have a job, that's fine. Neither did Christ. Right? He didn't get paid. I have no home. The fox has a hole. The birds have nests. I have no home. It's what he said. Was he ever hungry? Nope. It says he wore a seamless robe. You know what that means? In our time, that means he wore an Armani suit everywhere he went. No job. You know why? He believed his Father with everything in him. He didn't have worries. I believe, you know, I know Christ would have lived forever because he was sinless and all those things as well. But I think he would have lived forever very healthily. I don't think Christ had high blood pressure. High cholesterol. I don't think he had any of those things. I think Christ was like one of the most relaxed people on the planet. Seriously. There's multiple stories. They try to throw him off a cliff, or they try to stone him, and they try to do. And time after time it says, and he walked through the crowd. He didn't run away from them. He's like, get out of my way. It's not my time yet. This ain't going to happen. You do realize there's a cliff behind you. You can't turn around yet. Yeah, I don't. That's fine. I believe what my dad told me, and he told me I'm not going to die today. You see, it's time for us to truthfully believe that anything is possible with God. We say it all the time. It's okay. All things are possible. We sing it. All things are possible. And I'm done singing because I'm going to hurt you. Right? We sing it all the time. But when you leave this building, do you believe that that is true? Because if we do, we can do anything. Christ says, with faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to be cast into the sea and it will be so. On the same walk, he curses a tree. Why? Because there was no fruit. You see, those two things mesh. Without faith, you have no fruit. Hello? God will not bless you without faith. Faith without action is, you see, there's a circle here, isn't there? You don't need a lot of faith, just a little. If you're not producing fruit with that faith, you're useless. And if you're not acting on that faith, you're dead. You see, those words aren't my words. You can't argue with me today. You can't. I mean, I've quoted the person you say you follow. And he is saying, move. Do something. Does that mean that we're saved by our actions? No, it does not. What it means is that we believe the God we say we follow. So often, we say nice things, but we don't understand what it truly means. Point number one today is this. Whether you say you will or you won't, you're right. Whether you say you will or you won't, you're right. I talk to people in the church all the time in missions. I'm a missionary, and we're in Romania, and I'm working with the national church, which is called the Pentecostal Union. I'm also working with multiple different missions organizations, as well as other missionaries in the Assemblies of God. And I hear people say all the time to me, you can't do that. They're all Christians. That will never happen. It will never change. Now, I'm sure none of you have said things like that, because this is the American church, and we're perfect. So just hypothetically speaking, if one of you ever thought that, you're wrong. Because I believe that God really likes it when we say the words never and can't. Because God goes, oh, wait a second. Challenge? I can't do that? Watch me. That'll never happen. It'll happen today. Not because of you, but because of me, because of my glory. I will prove to you that I am bigger than your problem. I will prove to you that I am bigger than your government. I will prove to you that I am bigger than your economy. I will prove to you that I am bigger than your heartache. People in the church should never use can't and won't and never, because we believe in a God who doesn't have those terms. We believe in a God who spoke creation. Spoke it. I mean, how often do you sit down and just meditate on that? I've been thinking on that the last couple of days. But think about everything you see around you. And I was traveling on my way here from Waupaca, and I was with my wife's grandparents, and we were talking the other day, and I was like, isn't this area just beautiful? You've got valleys and hills and deer and cows and horses, and I mean, there's sunsets, and I mean, it's just gorgeous. God spoke it. He didn't touch it. Give me a hill. Right? Light. Boom. There's the sun. Moon. There it is. Fish. And they filled the ocean. Do you realize that the only creation God touched was you? It says he spoke everything into existence, and then he sat down and created man with mud. You know what that means? I know we already are aware of how important we are in God's eyes, but think about that for a second. Everything else on this planet, in the universe, God spoke, but you and I, he got on one knee and created. And breathed his life into us. God can do anything. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, or the people perish. What is your vision today? No, I don't want what your church's vision. Don't start quoting me the 16 fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God. What is your vision? What vision has God given you to achieve? Think about this for a second. Well, you don't understand. I'm beyond my prime. In God's eyes, you're never beyond your prime. Right? See, Sarah laughed, and God gave her a child. Then I bet you she wasn't laughing anymore. Oh, come on, I'm so uncomfortable, and I'm 130 years old. Just get it out now. I hear that from my wife, and she's like, you know, younger than that. I didn't say her age. Did you notice that? You see, God enjoys hearing us say you can't. because he says, I will. Without a vision, the people perish. Because, the reason this verse is so important is because without a vision, you have no reason to get up. Without a vision, without a goal, why get out of bed? Why go do anything? Why? That's why I started with the story of, do you walk across the street and tell your neighbors, what's your vision for your city? I didn't ask what your pastor's was. What's your vision for this city? You see, a pastor's job, biblically, is to give guidance, give wisdom, train you, teach you to be the church and go do it. The roles in the culture of the American church are, you do it, I'll be comfortable on my pew. Right? You see, when the church started, they didn't have buildings, they didn't have pews, they didn't have anything. They had a tree. So let's all meet out on the west field under the tree at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and everyone bring fish, and we'll talk. Right? And then the pastor, who gave them vision, gave them guidance, gave them training, taught them how to do it, and they left the tree and went into their city. Correct? The modern day church leaves their fish at home, walks into a nice, comfortable building, says they went to church, and then they leave instead of being the church. And then as we leave our fish at home, the sermon better be done by noon because my fish is going to burn. Right? See the difference? It's time for the church to get back to what we're supposed to be. You see, the quote of whether you say you will or you won't, you're right, was said by a man who had the biggest dream of his generation. That quote was said by Walt Disney. A man who had everything taken from him. He actually invented a donkey was his first cartoon. I actually read this. I wasn't around when it happened. Sorry. He had a donkey. Him and a partner were working on a cartoon, and his partner stole it. Took everything he had. So he was sitting in a downstairs apartment with two rooms, with concrete walls, all by himself, with nothing. So he sat down with his little sketch pad, and he had a pet. So he sat down and he started to draw his pet. A mouse named Mickey. He draws this little pet with three circles and puts a nose on him and a smile. And because of a time when he was at his worst, the best came out. When he was at his worst, his best came out. He built an entire company because of sitting down and drawing his pet. Mickey Mouse is now worldwide. Most people have no clue how it started. They have no clue that at the time he came up with this character, he was at his worst and lowest moment of his life. And that man is the man who said, whether you say you can or you can't, you're right. Because he never gave up. You see, Walt Disney was not a Christian. But he lived his life in a way I wish most Christians would. I will build a fantasy land for children. I will have a place where families are welcome. I will be the most innovative cartoonist in history. I will do it. And because of that will, he did. You see, he didn't base what he did on God. He didn't base it on saying, with God's help, I can. He did it on his own. So imagine how much further we can go. if we just start saying, we will. You see, in this town, you have a little company that you know, it's kind of popular in the area. Just this little place that makes bows and guitars. And, you know, it's just this little area in the side of town. And I'm sure most of you haven't heard of it. But that started as I got to talk to a man who goes to your church with a dream. Just one dream. And because of one man's dream, the rest of this city was affected with jobs. This church was affected with a vision. With a man who challenges you every day when he's in the room. I know this. I've met him. There's many of you that either work at that place or have gone to it at least. And you see and you sense the passion. I got to walk through it and I sense the passion that is in that room. But it was started with a dream. What's your dream? Because with God, all things are possible. A story that started with a man who just wanted to make a bow a little bit better has now turned into something that sustains a city at times. You see, your dream that God has given you is not just to affect you, it's to affect the people around you. So often when we look at things we can't do, we look at how hard it is on us instead of looking at how it benefits others. So often when we look at a calling God has given us, we think about how hard it is or how much work it is or how tired we'll be at the end of the day. But you want to know something? As God is moving in Romania, I'm not tired at the end of the day. As things begin to happen, I'm not tired when I go to bed. I can't wait to get out. I'm doing extra work. I'm doing extra things. Because when God starts to move, he gives you supernatural energy to keep going. Amen? And it's time for us to get in the flow of where God is, and we will never want to stop. But so often we sit on the bank and watch as God goes by and wonder why we're so tired. Or, even worse, you're swimming against the current, and I promise you that'll wear you out. Just go where God calls you. God called us to go to Romania and work with young men as they exit orphanages and Teen Challenge and things like this and help them get back on their feet. I had no clue how this was going to happen. I knew that God wanted us to move forward. Excuse me. I knew that God wanted us to go there. But you want to know something? I had no clue how. Is that a surprise to you? I had no clue how God was going to do this. But we got there. We met with some friends, and we're now mentoring four young men who have exited Teen Challenge. They're working on getting back on their feet. All four men found jobs within 48 hours of leaving. In an economy where people with college degrees cannot get work, these men have police records. They have all of these other things, and one of these men is a courier with a bike service. One of them is a waiter at a very high, prestigious hotel. He should never be allowed to work there. He's a thief. God opened that door. You see, I there's no reason I should be able to find these men jobs. But God will use the simple things in your life if you let him. I like football. Amen? You can admit to that. It's okay. Especially when you're in Wisconsin. As long as you're not a Viking fan. So just got to clarify. But we ordered the NFL package because I can't live without it. And I started watching it. Well, I had some friends in Romania that said, "You watch American football?" And I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "How do you watch it?" And I explained how, whatever. And they said, "Well, can we come over and watch it?" And I said, "Yep, go right ahead. I don't care. Just as long as you're only cheering for one team, we're good to go." So I have converted many people to God's team. You do know that's why we have a G on the side of our helmet, right? God. See? And anyways, so they show up and they start watching these games and we're having fun and I'm actually decorating my house in green and gold and all these other things. And they show up and they're like, you know, this is a fun game to watch and all these other things. Well, lo and behold, one of these men has a friend who plays on an American football team of Romanians. You follow that? And he goes, would you be willing to coach for us? Because you're really good at this. He goes, I already told him you're like a professional player in everything. There was a humility moment there as I went, I should probably admit that I'm not. I said, you know, I'm not professional, but I played in high school a little bit. I'm kind of overweight at this point, but I can teach you how to throw a ball and some of the rules and stuff. They said, great, we'll take you. Standards were very low. And so I show up, and we start coaching, and we're working with them. We're getting to know them, and I'm hanging out with them, and I'm thinking, God, where's this going to go? What's the point? Right? Because men, we have to have a point, right? There's no point, we're not doing it. Sometimes the point is have fun and hang out with other people. So I start hanging out. We get done, and the last practice I went to before we flew home to have the baby, one young man walks up to me. He's got a brace on his back, and he's had some problems with his back, and I keep telling him, stop playing, be a manager. And he comes over, and he sits down next to me. He goes, why are you in Romania? We all want to go to America. Why'd you come here? So I told him. He said, so are you like a priest or a minister or something? I said, yeah, I am. He goes, you're not like all the priests I've ever met. I said, I know, I'm crazy. He goes, you know, I'm from Turkey, and I'm a Muslim. Can you tell me the difference? Because of football. Because it's time for the church to build relationships outside of the church. Did you catch that? So often we have our church gatherings. We have our women's small groups. We have all of our stuff with the people in the church. I have people that come to my house that go, can I smoke in it? No, but you can in the yard. So I have 10 men in their 20s and 30s smoking cigarettes in my front yard. And you know what? I stand out there with them and drink a Coke. I come walking back in and I smell like cigarette smoke, but you know what? There will come a day they'll look at me and go, what's different? You see, if we read the Bible the real way, Christ spent a lot of time in a bar. He spent a lot of time with prostitutes and tax collectors. He spent a lot of time with people not in the church. Where do you spend your time? I'm not opposed to you getting together with the church. It says we need to gather together as saints and encourage each other. I'm all for that. But don't only encourage each other. Encourage those that are not in your church. That is missions. You see, the church is merely a fueling station, isn't it? How often do you get gas in your vehicle? About once a week, right? Sometimes more. But about once a week. It's a pretty good analogy. About once a week, you come and you get refilled so that you can sit in your parking lot? No. So that you can get across town. So you can get to the neighbor's house. So you can get to the grocery store. You see, God is opening doors for us because we're around town. We're one of the first missionaries that has been offered to be ordained in the Pentecostal Union. There's been missionaries in Romania for, I think it's 80 years now. None of them have been offered to be pastors in the Pentecostal Union, getting credentialed. Why me? I don't know. But God is throwing doors open. People look at me all the time and go, what are you doing? And I almost want to look at them and go, nothing. I'm just stepping through the door God opened. Because it's not me. And guys, I'm just going to be real with you. I mean, I've been doing it all day, but I, honest to God, want to be real with you today. If you are willing to take a risk and move, God will open doors. If you are going to wait for the door to open, it will stay shut. So often we go, God, please open the door and then I'll move. God's word says, move and I'll open the door. Go and then you'll see me. We've got it backwards. completely opposite. You know, I could have said, you know what, football games are for me only. It's my time to be American and I'm done. But no, I didn't. You know what? I'm having to explain rules in every game I'm in. How many of you want to talk during a game? Okay? See, I'm breaking the crown rule of watching sports. As they look at me and go, what was that flag for? What's the rules? Or what's that mean? Or how come you can't grab his head? Because they'll rip it off. I mean, but I sit there every game and explain stuff and get to know them and open my heart, open my mouth, open my past, my history, quite frankly, become vulnerable. Which men, we're horrid at that. If you don't believe me, ask your wife. But if we become vulnerable and lift God up, he'll open doors. It's time for us to use the little things that God has given us to reach the lost. Kids, when I was your age, I had a small group in my school that ran 500. Quite the small group. What's your excuse? Waupaca Public High School. 500 every week, every Thursday for 20 minutes. As Nike says, just do it. Knowing who you trust in, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord your God and lean not on your own understanding. Stop leaning on what you know. Start to lean on what you don't. Do I know why God took a little kid from Waupaca, Wisconsin, a town of 5,000 who didn't even live in town and could barely speak English, to another country to do ministry? No. I literally got to the point in my life where I'm like, you know what, I'll probably work at the foundry and drive a Ford, have an apartment in town. God changed that. Who do you trust in? Who do you believe in? What's your reason? Ever since Renee and I went into missions, we've had to have a higher level of trust. You see, guys, many people think that missionaries make all this money and all this other stuff, and I'm going to be honest with you, we don't. There's no one getting rich in missions. But my goal isn't to get rich. You see, our entire livelihood is based on people giving. If you know me, you'll know that I'd rather go dig a ditch for 12 hours a day, 7 days a week to support my family. But I can't. I have to believe that God will provide through his church. And our faith has grown. As we will look at our budget at the end of the month and go, I don't think we're going to make it this month. If we lose much more, we may have to go home. And that night as we lay our head down on our bed and say, God, we're still willing if you provide. And the next day we get a check for the amount we needed. Because God will provide if you're willing to take the risk. We need to stop being comfortable in what we're doing and just let God be God. I was told I wouldn't find a house, and I found one in 3 days. I was told our container would be taxed heavily and we wouldn't be able to get it into the country for months, and we got it in 2 weeks for free. I was told we wouldn't have a car because our state didn't have the money and speed the light. Another missionary went home and we had one in a month. Who do you trust in? Who do you believe in? Who do you put your energy into pleasing? Point number three is taking a chance. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. By faith, Abraham, By faith, David. By faith, Isaac. By faith, by faith, by faith. You see, that chapter is still being written today. Because by faith, your church will grow. By faith, your family will be fed. By faith, your school will be changed. By faith, our country will be healthy. By faith. Do you have that faith? Do you have the faith to stand when nobody else does? Do you have the faith to look at people who are discouraged, who are going through the worst time in their lives, and say, it's okay, I've got your back? When I was born, I was supposed to die. I was premature, and my father was going through many things. It's a story I'm going to very much abbreviate. But the point I want to make to you is my dad was a minister at the time. He was actually the state youth director. And he called my grandfather at the time and said, Dad, I can't pray anymore. I don't have enough faith to do it. My little boy is dying. And to this day, my dad looks and tells that story and says, but my dad said back, Larry, I've already asked God for a double portion. It's taken care of. The assembling of the saints, my friends, is to uphold one another. Because you may not be down now, but I promise you, you will be. And when you are, the people sitting next to you will hold up your arms. Today, as you go home, pray for faith for Dan and Marlena. Say, God, give me extra. Because they may not have much today. So I'll do it for them. As people in your church are going through a hard time, say, God, give me extra. Because guys, by faith, God is moving in Romania. God is changing Romania. Churches are being opened. Eyes are being opened. The scales of communism that still exist in many of the older generation are being torn off. The economy is getting stronger. The visions of young men are getting bigger. Not because of Brent, but because of God. Guys, I'm going to be real with you. We're running about $500 a month short right now, per month. We need your help to stay. We do. I couldn't have said it this bluntly or this clearly a year and a half ago because I was a let's get down and work and I'll fix it myself, but guys, I can't. But I promise you that every dollar you ever send will go directly to a young Romanian man. I promise you. But I can't do it without you. I can't. One of the biggest things you can do, even if you can't support us financially, is pick up a prayer card in the back and pray that God will send somebody else if you can't. But today, I'm going to close with this. If the worship team would please come up. I'm going to close by reading this. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, please stand. Please stand to your feet right now. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, notice it didn't say if the day of evil comes. It said when. Not if, when. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after everything you have done to do, just stand. Stand. Don't sit down. Don't take a break. You don't need to move forward. Just don't go backwards. Just stand there. Stand there. Draw a line in the sand and say, from this day forward, I will not go backwards. And if I don't have the strength to step forward, I'll just stand.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.